Welcome to Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a new show. I'm your host, James Hartwell, and I'm joined by
Charles Jamat, and I'm joined by
Andy K. I'm so mad right now.
Is your chicken not good? Is it not cooked here? To catch you up, listener, we started a couple minutes late because Andy was cooking chicken and it was not going well. And am I now to understand, Andy, it hasn't gone well?
So I'm feeling real anger right now.
How much chicken are you cooking?
All it was is I was baking some chicken. I was making like the kickin' cayenne something chicken from HelloFresh. And you just like salt and pepper the chicken. You put some stuff on. You throw it in the oven on a pan. I thought it would be so simple and easy, but it took forever to cook. And I just cut into it. And not that it's raw by any means. It just looks enormously unappetizing. Like baked chicken just looks gross. It has like no color. It's just pale and sad. And so when you cut into it, it just looks more pale and more sad. And I don't want to eat this.
I don't think you cooked it all the way through, Andy.
I did an internal temperature of it. It's cooked.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I've baked chicken. It still looks appetizing. I know what you're saying, but if you cook it right, it looks better than that.
Yeah, so, I agree. Like, yeah, it's definitely if it's undercooked or you're not putting like oils and stuff for seasoning to kind of help keep it moist when it's cooking, it looks fairly dry.
It just looks so bland. Although, you know, okay, so here's the thing. Pro tip for listeners at home, or I guess anyone who doesn't know, I remember America's Test Kitchen always yells about you need to make sure your meat is like even thickness so that it cooks evenly.
Yep.
And these chicken breasts were wildly uneven. And I just cut into the super thick part, and that's the part that's super unappetizing. So I'm wondering if I should have like smashed these chicken breasts.
You butterfly.
You smash your meat?
Well, Andy, this is a Christian podcast.
Well, I can tell you, I've never smashed my meat.
What, twice a day? Three times a day? What are you talking?
Those are rookie numbers. Well, first of all, I have smashed meat many times.
Your meat.
But meat. Mm-hmm. let's not be exclusionary. Yeah,
that's fair.
But no, I mean, yeah, because you ever made like cutlets or anything, Andy?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I mean, all right. This is now becoming a cooking podcast.
What's a cutlet? I mean, what?
A cutlet is a very thin piece of chicken.
Oh, maybe that's the problem here, is it's just a chicken breast.
Yeah.
Am I supposed to cut?
No, HelloFresh doesn't tell you to cut it.
No, I think you're supposed to, though, right?
I mean, it helps. It makes things go much faster.
Oh, I should cut it to make it even.
I mean, you can. You got a butterfly. Look up butterflying, Andy. That's what you want to do.
Oh, I should have butterflied my chicken.
You want to butterfly your chicken?
Butter? Can you pull that up on stream, or is that?
Yeah, I got you, buddy. Hold on a second. Let's just butterfly chicken breast.
I still haven't eaten the chicken. I mean, I'm going to eat it. Obviously, I made it, and it's food. But I just don't want the mashed potatoes turned out excellent.
Mm-hmm.
The pork carrots were along with the chicken for so long, they like shriveled up in our dehydrated.
I think a little bit of that YouTube audio may have just showed up in the podcast. Oh, well.
The what?
The little bit of the video that I'm now playing, the audio might have snuck into the podcast. Oh. I have to say.
Well, now we're demonetized.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, listeners at home, there's a man taking a chicken breast looking similar to what I put in my oven. Uneven thickness. Oh, he's slicing it in half. So dangerous. Put your palm face down and firm on the chicken, listeners. We got to make sure the knife doesn't slip and hurt you. And he just opened it up. Oh,
look at that,
oh,
Andy.
Wait. He didn't cut it in half.
No, right. He butterflied it.
That's butterflying.
Otherwise, oh, my God. I didn't know this is a thing.
Andy, how old are you again? Just for posterity?
No. So I don't have to smash my meat. I just have to carefully cut it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, he's putting it between wax papers.
Well, that's if you want to get it like completely.
I mean, let's be real.
You don't have to do that.
No. Yeah. But that would have made the difference. I'm aghast. Aghast? Is that the? I'm not horrified.
Aghast is good.
Yeah, I am aghast. I could have done that. Yeah, my mashed potatoes are great. Well, here. Okay, everybody, I'm about to chomp into this chicken. Let's see how good it is. I'll go on mute for the chewing. I don't want to put anyone through that. But just picture a bland. It is seasoned. I seasoned it, so it might taste good. Let's see what happens.
Charles, do you have any other tips for Andy and his failures of cooking?
Well, no. I would say, Andy, if you're worried about stuff like that and you don't like the look of your food, you could also put some other stuff on it. Work with sauces on your chicken if you're worried.
A good Worcester sauce covers most sins.
Yep.
What was I going to say? Oh,
it's too thick. It's too
Andy's
thick.
Andy's meat is too thick. You hear it first. Ladies.
This would be good if I had butterflied it.
Yeah, I'm sure it would.
But I cut it.
Or, Andy, or you put it in an air fryer.
No, it would still be too thick, James.
Nah, the air fryer would cook it very well. That convection makes all the difference.
I don't want, God, to keep going with, I don't want that much meat in my mouth. Like, it's too much.
Classic.
It's too much meat. I think it needs to be butterflied, air fry or not.
I mean, here's the other thing, Andy. Like, chicken breasts are for suckers. Chicken thighs are where it's at.
Yeah.
Oh. It's
cheaper and has a better flavor.
But don't I have to, like, debone it or something?
No. They come boneless.
Oh, well, what's the difference then?
It's dark meat versus white meat.
Oh.
But chicken thighs in general are kind of more an even thickness, and they're a little more resilient to overcooking and seasoning and everything like that. It's just a better piece.
I'm wondering, you guys, I don't know. It's just too thick. But otherwise, it was good. The kicking cayenne on top of it was pretty good. Too much meat. Anyways, thank you for that journey. Thank you for that lesson. I'm going to chomp on this a little bit more as we get into today's news.
Well, join us next week when we hear about how Andy sliced his hand open while I was trying to butterfly a piece of chicken.
Okay, well, that kind of happened earlier this week. But
Jesus Christ, Andy.
No, it wasn't sliced open, but maybe it was because my knife was so thin, or not thin, but sharp. It made like such a clean cut.
I was about to ask, do you have dull knives?
No. It was 1,000% my fault that I caught cut myself because I was trying to like push like garlic off of the blade, and then I cut myself on it. So that was my fault.
That's a pro move, Andy. And you're not. And as we've discussed, you're not a pro.
I'm not. Well, I started using a bench scraper, which I like, because the knife is too scary. That's my pro tip.
Why are you using it? What are you, fucking a line cook? Why are you using a bench scraper?
So I can scoop up all the ingredients and put it into my little bowls.
So it doesn't slow down the line service?
Yeah. Well, I like to have little bowls, and then I put all the stuff in the little bowls, but I don't like scooping it up with my knife. So I like using a bench scraper.
And do you know what that's called when you do that? It's called mise en place.
Yeah, that one I know. And it helps me a lot. Because then I have everything ready for myself. Because I cannot cut ingredients while I'm cooking. It just doesn't happen.
Charles, what about you? Do you prep everything first? Or do you cook as you go?
Halfway. I break it down into steps. There's like, I have to identify all the things I could do at the same time versus, stuff I had to wait sequentially. And all the stuff I could do at the same time, I do that all at once.
Mm.
So like if I have to, like, you know, cook something, like, let's say, like, I did a seafood chowder just yesterday. And what I did was I cooked some bacon, took the bacon grease, and then put in chopped onions and garlic in the bacon grease. But while I was doing that, I was also cutting up potatoes, right? But I did. But first, I while cutting, you know, cooking the bacon, I started cutting up the onions and garlic. That so that way, when it was ready, I could put all those onto the pan and then start cutting up potatoes. So I could do it all while like doing things at once. So it was all just in steps. All the things I could do at the same time, I do at the same time. But otherwise, it's sequential. And then I also start cleaning.
Oh, you see, that's good. So I'm bad about cleaning. Sometimes I'll just go fuck it.
No. Yeah. It's the only way for me to not feel like like I'm saving money by making a giant ass mess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I want to.
The chowder turned out pretty well, by the way, everybody. Don't worry.
Oh, good.
I have a lot now, and now I'm just like freezing half of it while eating the rest.
I mean, I made a really good red beans and rice this weekend.
Ooh, okay. Did you cook or cut as you went along, or did you mise en place?
I was lazy, and I bought pre-cut bell peppers and celery because I didn't feel like doing it.
Literally today, I realized that existed.
Yeah,
I was in the grocery store and like I like ran into someone. I was waiting for them to move. And then when they did, I was like, I wonder what they were looking at. So I went to go look what they were looking at. It was a whole like not freezer, but like refrigeration section of just prepared everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane. They I had.
Go ahead.
I was going to say they had diced red onion and it was like $3, but I could get the same onion for 70 cents.
Yeah, yeah, that's.
And then I was like, "Do I want to pay $2.30 for someone to chop my onion?"
The answer is yes. Sometimes for me, so it's just like, you know what, this makes it a lot easier. The barrier to cooking is lessened by the fact that I don't have to prep.
I'm not gonna, especially cutting onions though. Like, it makes a cry.
That's it. I did buy a food processor. That's it.
Ooh.
Yeah, I use it for those times that I'm like, you know what, that's a lot of stuff to cut. Let's just do it all at once.
Really? Like even an onion?
Only if it's like not just one onion. If it's like, yeah, you take two onions, chop them up. I'm like, screw that. Let this food processor do it. Like I'm uneven. The food processor knows what it's doing.
Yeah. That's so interesting. I didn't know you could like put onions into it. I would have expected it to just mutilate it and turn it into mush.
You pulse, Sandy. You pulse.
Yeah.
No, that's fair.
Just leave it on. This isn't
a blender.
Yeah, it's not. Don't use a hammer for everything. You know, that's it. This you got to finesse.
Okay.
Well, that's the cooking corner with three adult men.
I really cannot stress enough butterflying you guys, because I ate from the tiny section of the chicken. Delicious. It's just
Andy, buy an air fryer.
I don't need. No, this isn't a matter of the frying. It's a matter of the big meat, James.
Buy an air fryer.
No.
It also makes
Hello good.
Yeah, you know. It also makes HelloFresh is a lot easier because it's like, all right, preheat the oven, do that. I'm like, I'm just gonna throw this in the air fryer.
That's fair.
It's still the air fryer is still just an oven, Andy.
Yeah.
Well, I just bought a nice toaster oven.
That's a mistake. Should have bought an air fryer.
No. Actually, they had bigger models that were air fryers as well, but they were like $300 or $400. And I was like, I don't need
that. You know what people aren't in love with?
Ooh, tell us.
What was shown in the state of play this last Thursday?
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
So state of play last Thursday. We talked about it last episode. And correctly, did I call Destiny 2 Lightfall trailer was in there, including the weird anime eye villain, the Witness, the main villain of Lightfall. Have you seen this guy?
I saw the trailer.
Yeah.
I don't know which is the Witness.
Right there. Never mind. Yeah. He's got smoke face, or not smoke face, his hair. His hair is made of smoke.
He looks like an Incredibles villain.
He does. It's very weird. His design is very different than anything else in Destiny.
Yeah. It looks like two different games. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, all right, listeners, if you've never played Destiny, it's a third person. Well, it's a first person shooting game with up to max of squads of three, you know, so two other friends, and you can go along and play. And if you picture in your head a shooting game, yeah, it looks like that. With a little sheen of, I would say, I wouldn't say Disney animation, but it's animated. You could clearly tell it's animated. It's not hyper-realistic necessarily. Mm-hmm. The villain for this looks like a Pixar villain. It looks like Megamind. Like a DreamWorks villain. There you go. Like if a DreamWorks villain tried to look serious, that's I would say that's probably it. So yeah, it very much stands out from normal villains in Destiny, which are normally just big humanoid monsters or
big humanoid monsters.
So
this one's a regular sized humanoid monster. Yeah. And also his smoke hair has skulls in it.
Yeah.
And honestly, it looks kind of dumb.
It does. I don't know. We'll talk more about Destiny in a little bit. Because Lightfall did come out today. They also showed... Oh, this state of play recap is terrible. Wow, they really... The blog post is awful. That's how that goes to show how shitty it is. Oh, here we go. So they announced...
It's in reverse. It's almost like almost reverse order.
Yeah, it is. Uh-huh. It's very weird. They showed 5 new games for the PSVR 2. Atmospheric sci-fi western roguelike The Foglands. A Green Hell VR, which is an existing game. Synapse, which is a dual-wielding VR action game exclusively to PSVR 2. Where are the other ones? Oh, Journey to the Foundation brings Asmos' epic sci-fi series to life on PSVR 2. And Before Your Eyes, which was a narrative game. Oh yeah, that was this game. I don't know why it's in VR, but it is. I think it's very much about the eye tracking, actually. Because it's like when you blink, things change. It's very interesting as a concept.
Yeah. I mean, it's a Before Your Eyes was a pretty good game. Like I've seen streamers play it.
Is it out already? I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's a really good narrative story game. Putting it into VR makes sense, especially making use of eye tracking, which the VR 2 does have a really good one. It's neat.
They also revealed the launch date for Goodbye Volcano High, the story of dinosaurs about to be killed by a meteor in high school. We'll be launching this June on PS5 and PS4. Baldur's Gate 3 will be launching on the PS5 on August 31st. Naruto X Boruto Ultimate Ninja Storm Connections coming later 2023 on PS5 and PS4. I believe that is all of the Ninja Storm games released to date, just basically put in one package.
I think you're right. There's like over 100 characters in it. It's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Anything? Oh, Humanity was the other one. Charles, you want to talk about Humanity? I know you were very interested in it as a concept.
Yeah,
it didn't really grab me, but
so Humanity, at best, is it's like a 3D Lemmings, except the Lemmings are actual people, and you are a dog,
that a Shiba Inu, to be clear.
Yes, a very cute. Well, at least you think it's cute, Shiba Inu.
I was gonna say it could
you're
be
made cuter. Of light.
It talks about Shiba Inu in the post.
But basically, the story is humanity's been raptured, and you're a dog leading all of humanity through puzzles and leading them to higher up, basically. I don't know if anybody's played this or other listeners have heard this. This is very similar to another type. This is a genre of minigame. Technically, Xenosaga had a video game just like this where you lead your characters through these lines of like rectangles and you're trying to get them onto a square at the end of the line. Kind of the same thing. Like I said, very similar to Lemmings, but just bigger and more psychedelic.
Also, we'll have a PSVR 2 mode as well.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting this for PSVR 2. I want to pick up people and then place them.
It's a very Japanese game.
It's made by my boy, I forgot his name. The guy who made Rez and Space Channel 5.
You good Nakamura?
That piqued my interest. I was like, ooh.
You good Nakamura?
Is that his name?
I don't know. This is the name
of like Izaguchi or something.
Oh, that's the person who wrote the blog post.
But yeah, it reminded, that's my exposure to it. And I was like, well, I got to check that out. And it's on original PSVR. I'm stuck in the past waiting for Sony to welcome me into the future. Bring Space Channel 5 to PSVR 2 and you've got my money.
1900-1-1.
Yeah. Don't worry, I'm over 21. My birth year starts with a 1. That's because I just had to put in a age gate for the next thing, which was Resident Evil 4 remake trailer. Again, called that. And god damn, does this look so fucking good?
Oh, it looks great, man. It looks so good.
I mean, they're definitely changing the story. What's his face? It's not. Who's the other guy?
Yeah.
Is it Carlos or Diaz?
Carlos.
It's Carlos, right? Yeah. Watching it, Carlos, who is a side character in Resident Evil 4, seems to be alive much longer than he was in the original game.
Oh, he dies fast, man.
Yeah. Just based on locations. Yeah. But it's also, it seems like it's keeping like the weird kind of action horror movie thing that made Resident Evil 4 great. They showed Krauser and he was still hamming it up. But man, it just looks so fucking pretty. And I mean, Resident Evil 4, a pretty big game comparative to like 2 and 3, which the remakes have already done. Like 2 is a decent sized map, but it's also always kind of very claustrophobic. Resident Evil 4 has a lot of like big open pieces, and you can see that in this trailer. So it's be really interesting to see where this goes. I'm so excited for this fucking game.
I think I bet it against it.
Yeah, he did, Andy. Yeah, he did.
I wasn't anticipating it to look good.
Yeah, I would have to say whoever is in charge of doing these remakes for Resident Evil, they must have got like... they must have been able to just like go around the office and goes, hey guys, what would you have done differently? And then just wrote it all down. I was like, oh, okay. And then just decide to do them all.
Oh, they're also bringing Mercenaries mode back too, which I don't think anyone necessarily expected, but it's there.
Oh, neither did I. Hmm. Wait, whoa, March 24th?
Yeah, it comes out next month. Also, there'll be a demo coming out soon.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not realize it was that soon.
Yep. We've known about it being in the works for a while, though.
We knew March 24th for a while. I knew that because my plan was I was going to buy it and I was going to play it on my way home from Japan.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It does look good.
It looks really good.
I kind of want to play it.
Oh, I mean, Andy, you should 100% play it. Don't you like Resident Evil 4?
No, I've never really played it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've bought the HD version, and I don't think I even played it. All I remember is I watched someone play it, and then I was like, this game's too long. That's all I thought.
I feel like you can beat it really quickly.
Really?
Oh, the original one.
Like, being way too long.
There's a lot of things you can skip if you know what you're doing.
Sure. I don't know. Maybe they tightened up the pacing. I don't know. It wasn't. I don't think it was for me, but I know it's a very important game. And so maybe I'll check it out.
Well, you know what? Maybe you won't check out. That's what they closed with the 15 minutes about Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. And oh boy, I'm regretting that choice in some leagues.
So, okay. Or did you want to introduce it? Because I have some thoughts.
Yeah. So, you know, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League is the next game from Rocksteady. It is a 4-person co-op, always online game. They have confirmed that you have to be online, even if you're not playing with friends. So you'll play one of the 4 titular Suicide Squad members: Harley Quinn, Deadshot, King Shark, and Captain Boomerang. You can pick any one of the 4 to play, and the other 3 will be AI, or they could be your friends. And you have to take over a brainiac brainwashed Justice League. along with Diana, who isn't brainwashed for some reason, Wonder Woman. And it's, you know, a lot of shooting guns at glowing weak points on robots. And I was like, ooh,
yeah.
That's not good, Rocksteady. That's not good. What are your thoughts about this, Andy?
Well, so when I realized that the PlayStation whatever was happening, the state of play, I joined like right near the end, I guess, because they're showing this Suicide Squad. And so I was watching it and I was like, okay, you know, this looks pretty like it looked surprisingly like high quality, right? At least the production value is there.
Yeah, that's true. I'll give you that. The production value is there.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, that could be neat. And then I looked at the chat and the chat hated it. And I was like, oh no, this is Rocksteady, right? And I was like, and it looks like it should be really good. I was like, why is chat so mad? And so I was wondering, number one, during any of these, when we do extended looks, do people just start to hate the game?
I mean, yes. People just want to hate things.
Yeah. Like, it almost feels like, why are you so confident? Like, don't, like, you're being cocky, right? And I don't want to reward cockiness when they have, like, these 15-minute breakdowns. So I was wondering oh, maybe they're just being too mean to it, or maybe they were just sick of it after 15 minutes. Cause like, there's no way this could be bad. But it sounds like more and more, and just like you called out, James, it's shooting at like glowing points on like machines. And isn't that what the Avengers had, is that you only fought machines?
No, they introduced real people eventually.
Okay.
But
like, yeah. Why is this helicopter flying around the sky with a giant pink butt that you're
shooting? Well, that's because Brainiac's controlling it, and his color is pink.
Oh, so that's why you have to shoot him.
Yeah. And I mean, so we said those four characters, right? They all have guns, including Harley Quinn. And they all have fairly similar traversal. Like, they can all jump really high. They can all sort of glide or fly a little bit, even Captain Boomerang
around like Spider-Man.
Yeah, Captain Boomerang gets on because he steals like this boomerang that has the Speed Force. It's very interesting. I don't know. Here's the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look very narrative focused, which is
no
where Rocksteady really kind of shines, where it's like, I'm worried this game is going to have a lot of like good spot. Like, here's the thing. Avengers had a really great single player campaign. I'll die on that hill. Mm-hmm. But that's because it literally was a single player campaign. There was no like fucking, you know, weird co-op. Like, this is a mission that you could replay forever and ever. Right. They were separate. Like, the online part and the solo part were very separate. This looks like they've merged the two, which means like the missions look like you're just going to kind of be fighting waves of enemies for the sake of moving the story along instead of like the idea of just being like you're fighting these things because it's story important.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know. When I was also first watching it, I thought it was single player. And then when I found out that it was multiplayer and has a season pass for some reason, I guess, I was like, no.
It's a live service game, Andy.
No,
they have so much content to release post-launch.
So it's like, I wonder if it'll bomb. Charles, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I agree. I think the narrative is the most interesting thing, and like the cutscenes they show are very interesting. For instance, right now in the trailer they're showing this thing where they free Lex Luthor from a shipping container, and then as they free him, like evil brainwashed Brainiac Flash is like sitting there on a chair reading a newspaper about how he's gonna beat them all up, and you're like, that's pretty cool, I want to see that. Like, I still have some hope in terms of the narrative, because I think they can do both. I think they could have a good narrative and then completely bomb the gameplay because they try to make it live service.
Yeah.
And so, I could find something to enjoy here. Because I feel like Rocksteady could make, you know, still at the very least in their bones can't make a bad story from this, you know. Whether or not the gameplay ends up being really disappointing and stuff, there's every bit of evidence to say that it will be. That's not to say that
the gameplay could be fun. The gameplay could be fun.
Yeah, we can't confirm any of this because we haven't seen, like, there's not like demos out. They should make people feel better, but maybe they're not.
The game's launching in May, so maybe around April we'll get a demo.
Yeah, so this is a very much a there's a high likelihood of this being mediocre, which is a shame because it's a good premise. It's like anytime the Justice League goes bad, there's a fun story there. But what a shame.
My worry is it's going to be like the worst parts of Destiny missions. You know what I mean? Where it's like Destiny has a fun.
You need a void special gun. I have a solar special gun and you get an electro one.
Yeah.
Make sure we have those.
Yeah. Is this where it's like, this is not a fun mission and I just want to get it over with so I can advance the story. You know what I mean? Like Destiny has those every now and then, although they've gotten better about it, but you know, this is Rocksteady's first live service game. Will they avoid those traps? Who can say? Doesn't look good.
Why is it live service?
Because Andy, if you do hit, you make millions upon millions of dollars. It's what you're seeing is gambling, right? We're just kidding.
Well, I mean, look what happened though with what was that good one? Guardians of the Galaxy.
That was single player one. Yeah, well, that was because was it the Square Enix, right? They have weirdly unrealistic sales goals for all their games.
Yeah, that's true. But like that one looked really good. As I understand,
it's a great game. Good. Oh, I love that game.
But
it was a great game.
It didn't sell, I guess.
No, it sold well. It didn't sell Square Enix well.
There we go.
Yeah,
that's fair. Okay. I literally thought like this was I thought this was single player. It just bums me.
It is single player, Andy. Well,
yeah. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. But the other thing too, I thought when I was watching it and I was looking at the chat be so mean, I was like, I wonder if the developers are watching. And then
I'm sure they were.
I wonder if they thought everybody would be like, wow, that's cool. Wow, I can't wait to play it.
They know.
You don't think so? Yeah.
Much like our hot take victim blaming of developers being publicly facing in Twitter and everything else, they should know not to fucking check to people reaction.
Yeah, that too. Also, it's like, why would you ever read the YouTube comments on your own videos?
Yeah. Don't do it. It just made me feel bad because it looks like they worked really hard.
I'm sure they did. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like it's a good looking game. I think other than the fact that they all use guns, I think it's interesting, but nothing's jumping out at me being like, this game's going to have fantastic gameplay.
Oh, the other thing too, was it one of you guys that posted the picture? It was basically showing like a character selection screen or like.
Yeah, that was the leak from a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. And it basically like shows like their gun has 1.5% increase on speed.
Yeah.
And, like, all these like piddly little stats you have to think about. And that is like the antithesis of fun. Like if you're trying to create this big like superhero fantasy, I don't want to think about my reload speed, right? Like, or, you know, like little.
But how are they going to keep you on that grind, Andy, if you don't have.
Exactly. And I think it's like you're killing the spirit of fun. At least I don't think that's fun. Is it?
Some people like it.
To some people.
It feels like it's like, oh God. And then you're just gonna be swarmed with loot. And then you got to sort your loot and trash your stuff. And it's just like, no, I want to be a big, fun superhero and just do big, cool stuff with my big, cool friends.
Here's the problem with games as a service places. They typically have that type of system, this like loot system and rarities and stuff that they took from MMOs, because MMOs are all about that grind. you know, every couple months you get, you know, a new raid, a new whatever to get new loot with higher levels of new stats that you get to have. Now, that doesn't work all the time. And just like normal live service games, MMOs also die because they think they could just slap that in and make it fun and interesting, which they don't always do. There's other ways to make it interesting that they can do. But because it's so overused, it's not a good system to have. Like, you have to have some other reason to find stuff that makes it fun. Like, at least with Destiny, the gunplay is so fun that you're just there to have different guns to try out and shoot. You know, like,
I can't remember who said it, but Destiny isn't an FPS. It's a racing game where it's basically you're just trying to improve your character to do things faster.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, yeah. So yeah, Destiny still, in my opinion, has some of the best first person shooting mechanics. It like, it well, it feels the best.
Their gun designers are second to none.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Such a good time. But like, so, you know, doing this here is a little half-assed, especially with all these characters that can have more personality to them. If you're just reducing it to guns and stuff for gameplay, then it's not going to be fun.
Also third-person shooting too, which is always kind of weird. Yeah.
But listen, Superman might kill a guy in this one, and that might be...
Batman might kill a guy.
Oh, Batman... No, Batman's only making them go to sleep.
Also, this is Kevin Conroy's last performance as Batman.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, I know, right?
Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, did die earlier this year, or like late last year.
I think it was in January. Might have been in January. I don't know. Either way, he died recently, which very sad. And he is... of our age, most people's Batman. So, yeah. Well, shall we move from one disappointment to the next?
Oh, no. What Let's else is it. Disappointing?
Well, that was the Pokemon Presents, Andy.
No.
6 a.m.
6 a.m. Pacific time, 9 a.m. Eastern.
They had a game I was actually excited about.
Is it Pokemon Sleep?
Yes.
That's not a game. All right.
What I pre-ordered.
All right. So we can run down the recap quickly, and then we'll maybe lock in. Of course, they had their usual, hey, there's more stuff coming to Pokemon Cafe Remix and Pokemon Masters EX. They demoed a new classic set of Pokemon cards, which comes in its own sleek professional case. So like the original first printing cards, like you get the fat Pikachu and all that stuff, but they come in like these weird black sleeves, and it comes with this old fold out thing with damage counters. It's very beautiful. You should look at it if you haven't seen it. It has a very like, Casino Royale high stakes poker commercial for it. It's very interesting. What else? We're
seeing that Charizard like made me feel like
Zacian, one of the legendaries from Sword and Shield, is going to Pokemon Unite. There will be a new Netflix Pokemon series called Pokemon Concierge, which is a kind of a 3D stop motion claymation kind of style. It looks very good.
Oh, that could be cute.
Yeah, and it's about Pokemon kind of on vacation on this island and having little stories.
Oh my
god, it'd be interesting.
Yes.
They also announced that Pokemon Go will start getting Pokemon Go will connect with Scarlet and Violet starting Monday. This past Monday, and there will be some new terror raids in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. Now for the two meaty portions of the, what do you want to do first? Do you want to do sleep or the DLC first?
Let's do the DLC because I'm not remembering.
Okay, so they announced two DLCs coming for Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. Part of the, they're calling it the Hidden Treasure of Area Zero. One will be coming in fall and the other in winter of 2023. Oh, they don't have the names here in this one. I'll have to find it. They also showed two new Pokemon that are attached with it that look really weird and interesting. It's something of a note is that the fact that the first DLC isn't coming until fall is weird because for Sword and Shield, they announced the DLC on Pokemon Day about the same the first Pokemon Day after they released. And I think the first DLC for Sword and Shield came out May, June timeline. So not coming out to the fall is interesting.
They're going to take their time. Are you saying?
We'll see. We'll see if they're going to do some fixes on there.
Being broken.
Yeah. Yeah. Who can say? And then I don't think neither of you two have any strong opinions on the DLC, I'm sure.
I do not at all. I want it to be good for you, though. It
looks cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a rumor, again, playing into the future past thing of Scarlet and Violet, Scarlet being past, Violet being future. The two DLCs seem to be future and past related, and one of which you're going to kind of a very traditional Japanese like fireworks festival deal, which makes people wonder if you're going back to Kanto, the original Gen 1 location for that.
Mm.
We'll see. So the other, no black and white remake, no remasters of any kind. Very sad. I was very interested because they had black and white very prominently displayed on the top right of the thing there. I was kind of like, oh, but nope, wasn't anything. So the only other big announcement is that Pokemon Sleep will be coming out this year.
Yeah.
Pokemon Sleep, you say? Well, Pokemon Sleep is a sleep tracking app.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
That's it.
It had a very cute commercial with a bunch of Pokemon sleeping in bed with their owners.
It was so cute.
I noticed there wasn't any Gardevoirs in the beds or Lobunnies or any of them. None of the sexy Pokemon in bed.
Oh, none of the sexy ones?
Mm-hmm.
That's too bad.
Interesting.
What's the one that maybe that's the Gardevoir that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, Gardevoir is the one everyone thirsts over for some fucking oh, I know why, but it's everyone thirsts over that Pokemon.
Well, there was a cute one. It had like Pikachu, I think, like Snorlax.
Snorlax is the big deal. Yeah. I like the one with the Slowbro in the guy's bed and like the full size bed pushing him off. That was
Yeah, it's really cute. Like,
Pokemon wants to know your sleeping habits because it's going to sell the health data to someone.
So I was trying to desperately figure out how it works.
I mean, the same as any sleep tracking app that's already on the App Store, Andy.
I couldn't find out if it was that advanced.
No, it just listens to your breathing.
Does it?
Yeah.
I couldn't find that it does.
That's how it works. That's how they all work. You put it next to you and it listens to your breathing.
Yeah, I know like the other ones do. I was just trying to figure out if this one does it. Because they also sell they're gonna sell a new Pokemon, a Pokeball.
That's the Andy, that is the what is it called again? The Pokemon Go Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Plus spelled out PLUS and then the plus sign.
And that
which it's basically a new Pokewalker.
Yes. And it's also supposed to help track your sleep.
Yes.
And I guess like Pikachu's inside of it and Pikachu will like sing you songs and become a better friend and wake you up. So
I don't think it's limited to Pikachu. I think you can put any Pokemon in there, but
oh, I just want Pikachu. Pikachu's the cutest. But
not Gardevoir.
we can just keep it at Pikachu. I'm looking forward to it though.
Listen, where's that?
What's up?
Where's that buff mosquito Pokemon in
Pokemon? Oh, that's
Buzzswole.
Buzzswole, yeah. He's an Ultra Beast.
Oh, Buzz.
Yeah, let me tell you about Buzzswole and how much I love him as a Pokemon. It's just a giant buff mosquito. It is so funny.
He's an Ultra Beast.
Oh my god.
He's in Pokemon Unite too.
That's where I recognize him.
Yeah.
It is not an exaggeration to say he is just a buff mosquito.
I want to be very clear with you, Andy. He's 7'10" tall, weighs 735 pounds. Oh, not an ounce of fat on his body.
Oh my god. It's like unsettling. He wasn't in the trailer. No.
You could capture it into a Pokeball.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for Pokemon Sleep. I think that's fun.
Are you going to do Pokemon Sleep, Andy?
Mm-hmm. I do have the Pokemon, the Poke whatever pre-order.
Oh, the Pokemon Plus Plus?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that?
Because I think it's fun. I want to improve my sleep. I realize I have the luxury of being able to sleep, so I should probably sleep. And what better way to do that than having Pikachu sing you lullabies? It's so dumb and it's so cute. We'll see.
But that was definitely it, though. I don't know. It's very interesting. Even the DLC stuff, there was no gameplay footage. It was just kind of these CGI... real life mixed trailers and then just kind of like art. So yeah, they're behind, I guess. I don't know. Something's going on. It was not, I mean, State of Play wasn't great. Pokemon Presents wasn't great. I mean, all I really wanted out of them was, you know, what the next remaster was going to be. And they didn't give me that, which is kind of sad. Also, you know, maybe that we're going to fix Scarlet Violet.
Yeah, that's an interesting call out that the DLC is taking longer.
Yeah,
but I don't think they're ashamed either.
They're never ashamed.
Well, they sold 20 million fucking units.
The millions of dollars they
exactly.
It overflows and they try to kick it back inside the building before they close it. The money falls out and the window picks up and they're like, someone else will get that, and they walk away.
Yeah. They go, you know, no one thinks about me and how uncomfortable I am that I can't close my wallet and put it in my pants because there's too many bills in there.
Too many.
We started just setting a dollar on fire every couple of minutes to keep the building warm. And we're not running out of money, they say.
No, we can't. God, and that game must have not cost that much to make.
It doesn't. Like,
you look at Suicide Squad and then you look at Pokemon and you're like, I wonder what the difference is in budget is there. Probably pretty big.
Yep.
And they couldn't even do.
Well, speaking of people who have too much money, ooh, this one's slightly more deserved.
Oh.
To this morning, apropos of nothing. At 2 a.m. 3 a.m. Eastern time. Elden Ring tweeted out, "Rise, Tarnish, let us walk a new path together. An upcoming expansion for Elden Ring named Shadow of the Erdtree is currently in development. We hope to look forward to the new adventures in the lands between." And they just did a beautiful little piece of artwork, which looks like it's Mikaela? I don't remember how to say it. Mikaela. Writing Torrent, which is your horse. And looking at the Erd tree, which is that's the other tree, right? That's not the
No. It looks like they're looking at this is my fan theory. It looks like this is what the Erd tree looks like if you took the Frenzy Flame ending.
Oh, okay.
So which would look pretty cool, just saying. But the frenzied flame ending has a different sky. So it could be the Hallig tree, but the Hallig tree is supposed to look very beautiful. So saying it's a shadow of the Erd tree doesn't make sense. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, what's the, this is me. I, Charles, you watch more lore videos than I do at this point. The golden tree, is that the Erd tree, or is the Erd tree the other tree where you go to Mikaela?
Mikaela's tree is the Hallig tree.
That's the Hallig tree. Okay.
Yeah. The Erd tree, at least the golden, the main Erd tree. There's a lot of Erd trees, by the way.
Yeah, that's right.
But the main Erd Tree is the one in Laendel Capital, gotcha. Which is the one you go to. Where
okay. I don't know. This seems like then it's having. I'm gonna keep saying her name wrong, Mikala. On Torrent, kind of lends to this idea of it being a prequel, but how the tree looks in the picture kind of points to it being after the events of the game. Who can say?
Yeah. It's exciting. In the main game of Elden Ring, there's a lot of talk of Mikala, but you never get to fight them. And everyone loves Mikala. You never get to fight them. And you just really want to know what's so great about Mikala. Maybe we'll find out this time. Yeah. Very exciting. I woke up this morning, saw that, thought it was a joke until I double checked the account.
Yeah, they're just like, they're just going to drop it.
Yeah, I was like, nothing's happening today. Why would this be announced? And I just like, you just tweeted this. You didn't even send it to anybody. I was like, okay.
Sure. Imagine if that was in the state of play.
Yeah, it would have helped. It would have really made things a lot better. But
I think, I also want to call out special attention. James, it was on your screen. Not the Elden Ring announcement, but one of the reaction pictures.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Bugs Bunny.
Slamming his meat, yeah.
Stream of, I don't know if he's opening a champagne bottle, but the image is carefully cut so that it looks like he is beating his meat, and I think that just goes to how excited everybody is. I think that's wonderful, and a wonderful picture. It made me laugh a lot. I wonder what he's doing. Although, you know what? Cartoons were crazy back then, okay?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
do you know, for people who put slightly more effort into their PR campaign?
Oh.
Previews for Final Fantasy 16 went out today.
Oh,
it was, it was a busy day today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Some key highlights that people have confirmed. 30 FPS and 60 FPS modes confirmed. The main story will be about 35 hours. There are about 11 plus hours of cinematics. I think we were talking about this earlier, that Metal Gear Solid 4 only had about 8.
Yeah.
Really? There will be a semi-open world, which, you know, they kind of had in 15 too. Seamless transitions from gameplay to cutscenes, which I think 15 also had as well. And there will be a public demo coming out 2 weeks before launch. It will be a full-time real action combat system. The people who played it have described it as being very much like Devil May Cry 5, which I have yet to play, but I will play that now just to kind of get ready for this. But it also uses some older mechanics. I believe it's bringing back the stagger mechanic from Final Fantasy 13.
Oh, I love those kind
of. Well, I mean, technically, 7 Remake also had the basically the stagger mechanic as well.
Yeah, but I mean, 13 is where it came from, though.
For the franchise, yes.
Yeah. Don't listen. I played 13.
No, well, like I was gonna say, like Xenosaga 2 also had it.
Yeah, for the it's right, but I mean, like it's pulling all these things from the different. Also. You know, Yoshi P is and a lot of the preview footage has gone out. It looks very much like a fighting game, including that the fact there will be ladders in the post game that you can compete against other players with.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, they're really focusing on the combat part of this more so, I think, than any other Final Fantasy so far.
Yeah.
Charles, I know you read a lot of the news today. Biggest Final Fantasy fan here on the podcast.
True.
Give us your take on what you've seen from the previews.
From the previews, everything else, it looks great. It's a very interesting move to make this, you know, move this away from like an RPG and make Final Fantasy 16 an action game. But I mean, it looks like it'll be fun. They should still be able to make a really good story from it. Like some people look at 11 hours of cutscenes in bulk, and I am just getting popcorn ready. I'm very excited. I love cutscenes. Put me into this story. Tell me about it. Show me all the cool stuff.
How many hours of cutscenes did 13 have?
I don't know. It's probably not nowhere close.
Final Fantasy 13 cutscene. Like, all I know is like the fifth time we went back to that beach, I fell asleep.
Look, a lot of things happened during that fireworks display. Okay.
9 hours of cutscenes, Final Fantasy 13. So even more than Final Fantasy 13, which had a lot of cutscenes.
Yeah.
Let's see, longest amount of cutscenes in Final Fantasy.
Yeah. So, you know, let's just say everything so far is people excited about the combat system. People really enjoy it because the guy who did Devil May Cry 5, the combat person, is also doing this game, which is why it's very similar to Devil May Cry 5. It also, everyone loves it. It remains to be seen on how the story is done and told. Final Fantasy stories tend to have a issue in its pacing. And even when they try to do interesting concepts, 15 had that problem. But this is by the people who make Final Fantasy 14. A lot of your favorite people from there are in this, making this game. The composer, the localization people, Yoshi P. So I trust them to make a good story because everything in 14 has been incredible so far with the latest expansions. Shadowbringers, then Endwalker going so far. They are on a roll. And so I think they could do it this one too. Oh, God. If this turns out to be really good, I feel like Yoshi P could probably get away with shooting people in the office and no one's going to
say. I wouldn't be surprised. He's a golden boy. Square's lucky to have him.
Square only listens to their golden boys, by the way. That's how you get away with making a game like Balan Wonderland from that one guy, it critically bombing, and then they fired him. Mm-hmm. The whole point is,
what's his face? The Kingdom Hearts guy,
Tetsuya Nomura.
Yeah, there he is.
Yeah, the original person for 7, makes 7, gets away with it, makes Kingdom Hearts, makes a lot of money, gets away with putting Kingdom Hearts in everything. And the city of Final Fantasy in Kingdom Hearts, by the way. What the fuck? It would be nice to have someone as seemingly level-headed and transparent as Yoshi P to become untouchable and make good decisions for the franchise as a whole. I have high hopes for 16. It looks like everything people have seen so far doesn't lead to us doubting that it could still be really good. So it's complete opposite of Suicide Squad in that regard. It's exciting. It looks good. I want to know more about the world. The world seems very big. So I'm interested. Tell me more. Show me stuff. Make me like that you named your main character Clive. It's not a good name. Yeah.
That doesn't sound very Final Fantasy.
I know. Well, that's because they went back, they decided to go, oh, we'll go back to the fantasy and not future. Well, what can we name them? I don't know. What do you name Middle European people?
Clive.
They're like, all right, sure, that sounds good. People like Clive, right? They say in Japanese. And then they nodded and walked away.
Well, I'm sure Square Enix is hoping the Final Fantasy 16 sells as well as the final story we're going to talk about today. And that's Sons of the Forest launched into early access 5 days ago, and has sold 2 million copies in its first 24 hours.
Yeah.
I had never even heard of The Forest.
The Forest was, I think it was one of kind of the highlights of early access when it first like happened in Steam.
Yep.
That old?
Yeah, Forest is pretty old. And they, comparatively to No Man's Sky without the outrage, they kind of just quietly worked on it. They just released patches and patches and patches, and the game just got better over time until it's a really good, like, kind of survival building crafting horror game, like, with a fairly interesting story if you spend the time to look into it. And now they're working on Sons of the Forest. And I've heard, I played a little bit of it. It's janky. It's definitely early access. But it's, it feels like a progression. The island is much bigger than the first game. The building is a little better. They give you an AI companion actually right off the drop, who you can kind of command to do things where you're like, hey, go fish for me, or go gather these logs or something like that. So it's kind of helps if you're playing single player, because I think they did identify that the game gets so much easier when you're playing with friends versus playing by yourself.
Sure.
The nightmare getting jumped by a bunch of the humanoid monsters like early when you're trying to build a fucking house. Yeah.
They come early in this game too, Charles.
Yeah, no, I saw.
But no one's built an effigy outside my camp yet, though. That was the one, I think, when I was playing the forest, I like turned it off for a little while. I woke up and there was an effigy of skulls built outside my camp, and I went, I'm gonna turn this game off for a little bit. But yeah, no, I mean, it's, I had a lot of fun with it. I'm gonna go probably play it on and off during early access. If you too ever want to join me, I'd be happy to play with you. But it actually, so it sold 2 million copies in the first 24 hours. Fantastic for an early access game.
Yeah.
And then it was so in high demand that it actually took down Steam for a small period of time on its release day.
That's insane.
Yeah. There were between 9,000 and 11,000 reports of Steam being down, which is not a ton of people, but the Sons of the Forest Steam page was down, including the whole store, during that period of time. Sons of the Forest also has replaced Starfield as the most wishlist game on Steam and is the top seller on Steam, passing even the Steam Deck.
What?
Yep.
I've just never heard of the Forest. It's...
Yeah.
It's
yeah, I know, Andy, you're not a gamer. We've discussed
this. Yeah, I know. You're not hip with the new games. You're just, you like your things and you stay there. That's fair. You can do that,
I guess. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm just amazed.
Yeah. It does look like it's fallen off the top sellers list at this point now. But it's
became Sons of the Forest havers, you know?
Yeah.
They got it.
Hogwarts, but it, I basically, what I heard is that outpaced sales of Hogwarts Legacy, which, fantastic. Again, like Hogwarts Legacy, we talked about as a game that brings people who don't play games to play games. Although how many of them are playing it on Steam, which is fair, but still, yeah, it's crazy. But it's always good to see early access studios kind of making ripples here and there.
Yeah, agreed. You gotta let them get these indie studios out there. Let them have their fun.
How long before Microsoft or Sony buys End Night Games, the makers of Sons of the Forest?
Oh. Here's my thing. I feel like this.
I would buy exclusivity for consoles.
Yeah, the Microsoft deal that's still ongoing and being dealt with, the trial and all that, hearings, I guess. No, I wait. You know what? They're being sued. Never mind. The trial. I don't know if it's still okay. Like, I feel like if you're a plaintiff or a defendant for the whole merger and everything else, you just don't try to buy other things while you're dealing.
Oh yeah, right now they're not going to buy other things. Yeah. Once that's done, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's an opportunity for Sony. Go in and grab it. Seems like a nice little. Nice little IP they can put into their wheelhouse, but who knows? But we'll have to talk about that on another episode of Add to Party, mm-hmm. a friendship simulator masquerading as a new show. Mm-hmm. I've been your host, James. I do kill the mutants as soon as I see them. I don't give them a chance. Hartwell.
Wait, the mutants? Oh my God, what?
It's a forest thing, Andy. And I've been joined by...
Charles goes into the caves to hunt, exterminate the mutants. And I've been joined by
Andy. Butterfly your chicken. Okay.
It's good advice. Better. It was good advice at the beginning of the podcast. It's good advice at the end of the podcast.
It is. Guys,
I don't think you're too good for it. Just do it. All right. Try it.
Have a good night, everyone.
Oh.
good night.
Have a good night.
I gotta put the chicken away now.